Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Ahmed from Lab 8. And Ahmed, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi everyone. Glad to be here. Excited to be chatting with you, Emma.
Awesome. Tell us a bit more about yourself and your work experience, your background, everything up to this point today.
Sure. So I'm based out of Toronto currently. I moved here 2 years ago. Before that, I spent 11 years in Dubai. And before that, I was in Lebanon, where I'm originally from. During my last 5 years in Dubai, I launched a digital agency and the region's first telemedicine platform. And those were kind of the most exciting days for me on the entrepreneurial level. Prior to that, I had launched a couple of businesses, had an acquisition, but the agency was kind of one of the funnest experiences I've had and the type of success that we kind of saw in the region. Helped us grow across multiple very interesting industries, which kind of got us more into understanding the startup ecosystem in Dubai and the region overall, which also enabled us to launch HeyDoc at the time, which was a global telemedicine platform. By end of 2018, it was time for my next adventure. I exited both companies, and made the jump to North America, to Toronto. And during the period after the after both exits, I still, a lot of friends would come up to me and a lot of acquaintances and would ask different questions about how to launch a business, how to launch a startup, how can I, can you help me with this business model? Do you know a good CTO? Which is the best bank to use? All types of questions that every founder would go through. And then that kind of organically turned into a consulting business where I started to build a small portfolio of startups that I was advising and helping out. And then earlier this year, that turned into, well, mostly mid last year, it turned into Lab 8. And we're currently in the process of scaling. So we spent 2020 scaling Lab 8 across different areas and services and growing our portfolio. We also launched an incubator program in Africa called Lab 8 Africa with a focus on social impact, startups with social impact focus. And we had our first demo day a couple of weeks ago.
Interesting.
And we're excited for 2021. We've got plans to run three programs after the success of our inaugural kind of cohort and program. So
congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
So inaugural cohort coming out, how does it seem to be in a remote world? Something that I'm pretty sure nobody ever thought of. Or did you start off remotely?
Well, so the thing is, I've been a remote person for maybe 10 years. So my agency in Dubai, we were remote. Our team was split between Dubai, India, Lebanon, a few areas in Europe, and we had advisors and consultants from around the world. Mm-hmm. And we were used to just living, working off of our laptops. I used to use Zoom back when nobody knew what Zoom was, because I needed a kind of secure and easy platform to conduct my calls. And when I used to ask for clients in Dubai, for example, to jump on a call, they'd find it ridiculous. We have to meet physically. People found it difficult. Remote teams, when I used to explain to people, yeah, we're 40 people, but spread around the world, they're like, where's your office? I'm like, we don't need an office. We've been quite remote from day one, but it was a struggle for people to kind of get that. Now jump to 2020, and especially in North America, remote work has been kind of something more of a norm to a lot of companies, but it's still something that's difficult for many to understand how it would work, and you know, what are the tools that you need, and how will productivity be affected, etc. So not many companies made the jump, but mm-hmm. because of the current situation, I think people were forced to do it, and they realized, oh, actually, we're quite more productive like this. And my answer was like, I know, I told you, and I love it.
I can imagine.
So for Lab 8, for example, mm-hmm. all of our startups are all over the world. We've got, you know, it's split between North America 50% and rest of the world is another 50%. And what that's helped is now startups are more, they were already open to remote work, but now with this situation, they're even more open to it. And like, for example, for us, we do a lot of matchmaking. So we'll go out and find CTOs, CFOs, CMOs around the world. And instead of, you know, being forced to find someone in the same city, which could be a challenge, now that we can find someone anywhere in the world, and talent is the only condition versus location and talent. But yeah, with Lab 8 Africa, when we first started our conversations, we thought, you know, this whole thing is going to end by June. So we thought, you know, let's do it. Our goal was to build an ecosystem, a physical ecosystem in Lagos, where we'd bring all the entrepreneurs under one roof and support them and kind of build a network of engineers and developers, business developers, analysts, etc., to support our startups. But that quickly, we quickly realized that actually, A, that's not going to happen, and B, you know, we don't need to be physically in one space. So the cohort instantly, or the program instantly, turned virtual. Though the majority of the startups in the first program were based out of Nigeria, but they were all in different states around Nigeria. And we have a startup from Tanzania, and the next program, I think it's going to be the same, with kind of with a more bigger focus across not just Western Africa, but all of Africa.
Interesting. So I will bring you back to reminiscing about your, you know, previous experience and journey. So you said remote for the past 10 years. So just to give our listeners a perspective, 10 years versus the past 10 months, what has been the major change that you see, the catalyst of change, or, you know, anything that major jumps out at to you?
Well, honestly, it's been, besides all the negative and all the bad things that are happening in terms of this in specific, it's been very positive. A small example, networking. Trying to meet someone or network with someone is always difficult, because you have to go physically, you have to take time off of your day and go meet someone in a cafe or at their office, you know, have a quick chat, introduce one another, you know, do the usual chat about the weather and, you know, introducing ourselves and all that stuff and coming back. That's 2-3 hours of your time gone. Now this is much more, it's easier. It's 30 minutes, you click a button, a software opens, a video camera, you have a quick chat, and then you shut it down. So what happened, what the friction that was there before for networking is gone, which made networking a lot more easier. So it's easier for us now to connect with people, and people are more open to connect. So the best thing about these 10 months has been I've met fantastic and amazing individuals just by the virtue of either them messaging me or me messaging them, and kind of saying, hey, do you, you know, you've got an interesting profile. I'd love to get to meet you. Like, let's grab a coffee and chat for 30 minutes. And I've also started using, and I started using tools like speed dating type platforms, but for kind of business networking. And I find it fascinating, because A, we get to learn more about the world. You're no longer, you know, stuck within your own city, a diameter of, 10 kilometers, but you're now like, for example, I've got access to the whole world and I speak to people from all over, get to learn about different things they're working on. Who would have thought that I'd be able to run an incubator program based out of Africa and with me, you know, not being there? And it's been possible because of the remote work, and it's because of people being open to meeting other people remotely and virtually. And this has kind of drastically helped make things better for us. And it's the same for everyone I've spoken to. Everyone's happy about the level of openness to network and connect. And they are now open to finding talent all over the world. They're now open to connecting with people around the world and developing business partnerships, open to more opportunities. So it's been very positive, I think, in my perspective and in my industry and the type of work that we kind of do. Even for companies that have offices all over the world, mm-hmm. it's affected them very positively because, you know, if I work with Singapore and London all the time, and I'm based out of the San Diego office or New York office, I don't need to be there anymore because I work remotely and with people across different time zones anyway. So it's also enabled people to kind of get out of bustling cities and to kind of go into different rural communities and enjoy life a little bit more, especially, you know, if you've got families or if you want a bigger house. I've met a lot of people that are moving out of big cities and going back home, and they are able to because of this type of remote work. So I've seen a lot of positives, and it's going to definitely change, and change is going to stick, and it's going to stick for the, you know, for the better.
Yeah. So the new normal is expanding.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
So how do you think companies like Gaper and, you know, TopTel and all these different platforms, how do you think such companies help develop, build and scale products? And especially for places like yours or any other startup, how do you think they expedite the whole hiring process?
It's going to make things a lot better, and companies are already more open to remote hiring. Mm-hmm. They already realize that they don't have to hire internally. We actually can work with someone on a different continent, and they can see the positives of it too. So their companies are more open to outsource to other companies, either for, you know, short-term hires or for full project outsourcing. They are open to it. In addition to that, I think talent acquisition is going to increase in terms of hiring talent and people from around the world. So not just outsourcing to an agency, but also, you know, building a team that's global. And companies are also going to be more open to that. And in addition to that, startups, it's going to make even, you know, the process of a startup building, or, you know, if a founder has got a brilliant solution to a problem, it's easier for them to set up their startup and start building it and start growing because they have access to talent around the world, and they have access to services and they're able to sell their product anywhere. So for them, again, the friction to set up their company is gone and it's much easier now. So not just big companies or SMEs and larger organizations are going to outsource their dev or their any type of services to companies like TopTal and Gaper, but also I think new startups are going to start popping up because they're going to realize, oh, I can do this, you know, on the side very easily. And if I connect and I can easily find people using online tools, potential partners, CXOs to join them and work on it versus, you know, trying to find someone before. Even though it was easy-ish, it's now going to be 10 times easier.
Great. Just to round it off, top three advice that you would want to give to startup founders, your cohort, any other cohort, you know, just an open stage advice.
Right.
Your end.
Right. So these are the usual things I usually share with my with the startups that we advise and that I work with, because we tend to be very, very hands-on. We join in as part of the team. Already founders are wearing 50 hats per day. So we say, you know, give us some of those hats, let's wear them for you and be your team members, be that person that you can brainstorm with and connect with, especially when it's a solo founder or two founders and they've got no one to brainstorm anything with. So the usual advice that we give is first build a team. We usually say, go out and find the smartest person that you know, and then ask them for the smartest people then that they know and surround yourself with them. Surround yourself with nurturing talent or talent that can help you nurture the business, because you're going to be spending every waking moment building your product or your business, and you want the best people with you. And sometimes it's not about the smartest person. It's about the person that can get the job done the best, who culturally fits with that person. You're going to spend so much time with that person. You need to be able to, you know, hang out. So, and without a team, without a solid team that works, I think for me, it's probably one of the, you know, startup failures. What are the reasons? For me, it's been team. So that's one of my main kind of points to advise on. Second is, I once gave a talk to my cohort about three stories over my kind of 18, 16 year career that I felt were, you know, really that impacted us or impacted me. And one of those stories was about kind of not biting more than you can chew, and being realistic in terms of, you know, what you can achieve. Be ambitious, but also, you know, don't be naive, and ask and make sure that you don't bite more than you can chew, because that can also cause a lot of problems. And that's where, when they've got a team around them that they can trust, that they can discuss things with, that they can brainstorm with, they would be able to kind of together figure out, okay, what can we focus on now, and what can we leave till later? And that is kind of a really key thing. Of course, you've got agile thinking, you've got all that kind of types of methodologies with which most startups, tech startups know, but business founders that, you know, are coming from the corporate world, they don't understand. So it's important that they understand the agile way of thinking, and they understand that they shouldn't be biting more than what they can chew. And the third thing I'd say is, and this is something I always repeat, is nothing ever goes according to plan, so plan accordingly. And this is kind of my motto in life. I work based on, you know, the idea that nothing I'm doing or nothing I'm planning is going to working on is going to go according to plan. And I just kind of plan my life accordingly. There's always plan B, C, and D. There's always low expectations on things, but you put in all your effort assuming that it's going to work, but also, you know, make sure that if it's not going to work, that you've got kind of a plan in place. So nothing goes according to plan, plan accordingly. That's my favorite line.
I'm pretty sure we are literally seeing that on a daily basis for the past 10 months.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So, all right.
So, yeah, so these would be the three things I'd share. But, you know, I always love having conversations and kind of meeting people, learning about their stories. And I've got a lot of stories to share. So it's usually a fun chat.
I'm sure. And 10 years worth of experience, in fact, 16 to 18 years of experience sure has a lot of stories to share there, right?
Yeah. Especially when you start starting companies at a young age, and you mess up so many times that, you know, it's stories are bound to come and happen. So
pretty sure of that. We'll definitely take you on for another podcast, probably listening to all the bloopers then.
I'd love to. I'm happy to join in anytime.
Great. Thank you so much, Ahmed. It was amazing talking to you. And we would definitely think about a separate stream altogether asking all the startup founders about their bloopers rather than their experience with remote.
I think that would be a lot of fun. I love that.
Sure. Thank you, Ahmed.
All right. Thank you.